sermon. And we're going to start a little bit differently than I have ever started a sermon before. Kids that are here, you are invited to come up here for the first few minutes. And by invited, I mean please come up here because I'm a little nervous about doing this. This is totally new for me. And I would appreciate not being alone up on the platform. So if you're a kid or a kid at heart, any age, feel free to come on up and grab a seat. Sit anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, you can sit on the ledge if you want. You want to sit on my lap? Okay.
Wait, that's an option?
It is an option for kids who can stay quiet. Whew. Okay, I'm all out of lap. Okay. You too? You could sit in Lucy's lap, or Elsie's lap, or Malachi's lap. There's lots of laps. Okay. We're going to do a Bible story that I'm going to read in just a few minutes, but that Bible story is about Jesus putting things back together. This world is full of things that get broken or disconnected, and Jesus came to put them back together. So there are some things that are easy to put back together, and there are some things that are hard, and there are some things that are, at least for us, impossible. But Jesus comes to put things back together. So an example of something that's easy to put back together is my favorite lamp. This lamp usually is in the corner in my study, and my way to begin a day on cold, gray, dark Oregon winter mornings is to sit in the chair right next to this lamp and turn it on and read my Bible using its light. It's a good lamp, except it won't turn on right now, right? Why not? Why not, Braxton?
It's not plugged in.
It's not plugged in, right? Even though it's a perfectly good lamp, if it's not connected, it doesn't work. Now, is that hard to fix? No, right? That's super easy to put back together, right? Can you do it for us, Braxton? Ta-da! Some things are easy to put back together, and then they work right. Yeah? But is everything easy to put back together?
No.
All right. So I'm going to tell you a story from when I was a kid. And it's not one specific story. It's something that happened over and over and over again. Okay? And it's a story about me getting disconnected from my mom and dad's love. Right? Not that they stopped loving me, but I stopped being connected to it, stopped being able to feel their love. And it had to do with vegetables. Yes, Claire might know this story. So my mom and dad had a rule that if you wanted to get up from the table at dinner before bedtime, you had to have eaten everything on your plate. And this rule would not have bothered me, except that my parents also insisted on putting vegetables on my plate every single dinner. And so I developed ways of getting around the misery of vegetables, because I wanted to get up and go play. Right? So I learned that, you know, peas, if I chewed them, tasted horrible and were gross and mushy. But they were small enough that I didn't have to chew them. I could just put some peas in my mouth and go, whoop, and skip the chewing. Broccoli was horrible and mushy and too big to swallow. But I learned that if you dipped broccoli in lemon butter, it wasn't so bad. So that lemon butter is the very first thing that I learned how to make on my own. And any time I caught the awful smell of broccoli coming from the kitchen before dinner time, I would go make lemon butter. But Nothing made Brussels sprouts okay. Brussels sprouts are somehow mushy and slimy at the same time.
And smelly.
And somehow that's not the worst thing about them. They smell terrible too. And I just thought there was no way that I could eat Brussels sprouts and survive. And so if there were Brussels sprouts, I would sit and glower at the wall across the dining room from 6 at dinner time until 8:30 at bedtime. And the whole time I was so grumpy and so sure that my parents were the meanest parents that had ever been parents and that no child had ever suffered like I was suffering under the unfairness of the Brussels sprouts. Now, while I was sitting there glowering and suffering, did my parents love me? Yeah. Every single second of that, they loved me. But was I connected to their love?
No.
No, I couldn't feel it even a little bit. And I didn't know how to get connected. It wasn't like a lamp that I could just plug back in, right? And that's, honestly, I'm a dad now, and I still think it's hard to connect back to somebody's love when I'm feeling really grumpy or sorry for myself. I'm getting a little better at it, but it hasn't gotten easy, right? Some things are easy to connect, and some things are hard. And some things are impossible. Some things we have no power to reconnect to. Right? The one that we're going to be talking about today in the Bible story that's impossible to reconnect is death. Does anybody up here know somebody who has died? Yeah? Right? Is there any way to make that connection come back?
No.
Right? We can remember the people who have died. We can tell stories about them. We can have pictures of them. But we can't make that connection come back. It's impossible, at least for us. But we're going to read a story about somebody for whom death is not impossible to reconnect. So that's the story that we're going to read from the Bible in just a minute. And as I am talking about it to everybody, I want you guys paying attention for how it is that Jesus reconnects us, even in the face of death. And when you go back to sit, make sure the big person you're sitting next to helps you read along in the story, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, time to head back to your spots.